It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. Kate Archer Kent is off today. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Happy to be with you this morning. New year, new wardrobe. Just make sure it doesn't culminate in a trash bin full of clothing. An apparel expert joins us to talk about how the clothing we buy, wear, and throw out impacts the environment. We also learn what we can do to put a dent in the problem in this new year. When you're done with clothing, how do you dispose of it? Do you go to great lengths to avoid the trash bin and drive to a Goodwill or another secondhand shop that gives it a second life? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Happy to be joined this morning by Sherry Marnell. Sherry Marnell is Program Director for Apparel Design and Development at UW Stout in Menominee. Sherry Marnell, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you, Dean. I'm excited to be here.
Good to have you. There's a statistic that's been repeated over and over again that global fashion is the second most polluting industry in the world. But some journalists have started to dispel that. Sherry, what do we know about just how much of an impact this industry has on the environment?
Yeah, great question, Dean. There definitely is different research on the exact kind of quantity or statistics. But in the end, we all own doing what's right. And we as consumers can do better in the environment, specifically related to fashion. Some statistics that are out there is us as Americans discard 70 pounds of clothing every single year. So each of us discarding 70 pounds of clothing, and 85% of that end up in landfills or incinerators.
Yesterday on the morning show, one of our topics was getting organized for the new year, and I shared the story that on New Year's Day, I actually did something I had meant to do for a long time and took all my sweaters and put them in one place and, you know, decided which of these had grown too small or too pilly or just, you know, were out of fashion or whatever. Ended up with 20 of them going to the local nonprofit thrift store. As part of that conversation was about decluttering our closets, and it seems to be an area of focus this time of year. Let's say we decide to toss the clothing we don't want in the trash. What's the journey that a piece of clothing takes from there?
Yeah, great question. Throwing it in the trash literally takes it just to the landfill. So I highly recommend doing exactly what you did and taking it to a donation location. So there's lots of different options. You know, Goodwill is one of the, or Salvation Army are two of the larger options that will recycle that and sell it in a nonprofit manner. And be able to allow people to thrift those items and give those items a second life.
What is the main problem with the clothing going to the landfill? Just capacity in the landfills?
Yeah, exactly. There's some research that's been created, Dean, that the U.S. landfills since the year 2003, we've had an increase of 38% of textiles into our landfills.
Wow.
However, the overall landfills have went down by 1%. So if you can just imagine if we didn't throw them into our landfills, how much of a reduction our U.S. landfills would have. So I highly recommend not throwing them away. But there's a lot of great organizations that are working to upcycle or recycle clothes that maybe you don't know how to fix, or they have holes blown in the knees. I know my kids have lots of pants with big holes in the knees that are kind of unrepairable.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of organizations like Cotton Works that's working to have an area where we can recycle those into new threads and fibers where consumers can then, instead of buying 100% fresh cotton, it's maybe a mix of recycled cotton or even recycled polyester and with new to kind of give it a new different type of second life of your clothing.
Sherry Marnell is our guest. She's the program director for apparel design and development at UW Stout in Menominee. When you're done with clothing, how do you dispose of it? Do you toss it in the trash, or do you drive to a secondhand shop, someplace where it gets a second life with someone new? And when you or your children's shirts or pants get ripped or damaged, do you take it to a seamstress or repair it yourself? is it easier just to go out and buy a new garment, and why? We'd like to hear from you. 800-642-1234. Sherry Marnell, sounds like trashing the item, not the best option. So then what should people do with clothes they don't want? And is that sort of donation to a place like a Savers or a Goodwill enough to pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I'm not part of the problem?
That's definitely better than throwing it in the garbage, I would say. As an easy step, definitely sending it to a thrift store is a great option. But I also would encourage the listeners, especially with the 2019 New Year, to take on a new skill. Learn how to sew a button on. Learn how to get a stain out of an item versus throwing it away. Or you can even, it's very simply, buy iron-on patches that you can put on a hole that's just starting so you can last, those items can last just a little bit longer. I know those are some of the things that I personally have done for my family. Not everyone has access to a sewing machine, but it's very easy to get needle and thread, small sewing, mending kits, and also know brands that do that for you as well. You know, there's a lot of great brands out there, such as Patagonia, North Face, Lululemon, that if their clothing does go into, you know, disrepair, if the zipper breaks or there's a hole, you can send them back and they will mend them for you, if that's maybe not your skill set.
Say, if one of those donation places, if, you know, you've decided that it's not something, if they decide it's unsalvageable and they can't sell it, what do they do with it? It just goes to the landfill then?
Great question. It all depends on the level of severity of the issue. Yeah. A lot of them will send them potentially to overseas locations or even homeless shelters. There's also some organizations, depending on the city that you live in, that there are companies locally that can grind up those fibers and create some recycled fibers from it. But it's grown a lot over the years. It's not accessible to all thrift stores, but we're heading in the right direction, which is the optimism in me.
Let's show our callers. We've heard from Vern and Boyd. Vern, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Great to be on. I was just going to mention something. Back in the early 50s, we all had cotton and wool, and we took it to a person that would collect this, and they would recycle it. They'd bleach it and all that stuff. But now, the biggest clothing article nobody thinks about are the plastic baby diapers. Mm. They're dumped in the landfills by the millions.
Now, that's true.
So that's probably one of the biggest things that needs to be fixed. Go back to the cloth diapers.
Thanks, Vern. Sherry Marnell, is there any momentum in going back to cloth diapers?
Great question. I can't speak from a statistics perspective or valid research, but I can definitely say for my own personal life that there is some momentum to go back to cloth diapers. There's a huge movement, and from a sales perspective, I know that usable or reusable cloth diapers is making somewhat of a comeback. Not quite there. There's still a lot of services that you're able to provide for cloth diapers. But I think what I also heard him say was just kind of going back to what we talk about in the apparel industry of man-made fibers versus natural fibers. So cotton and wool are natural fibers, where plastic or synthetic fibers like nylon are those that are created by man. Mm-hmm. So those are the fibers that also don't break down as easy in landfills, such as like cotton and wool would.
Right.
However, there is several organizations now that are working to recycle those man-made fibers. And I can speak specifically to, I know Target Corporation has a corporate social responsibility goal of working to introduce more recycled polyester into their clothing as the years progress, which a lot of people give large companies a lot of kind of rep for the environmental impacts. But there's also a lot of large companies that are able to make big impacts, like the one I just mentioned.
Let's move to Lori. Lori in Stoughton joining us. Hi, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I just was so interested in your discussion. I work for Goodwill of South Central Wisconsin. I just wanted to insert a little more information about what we do with the many, many donations of clothing that we get. A lot of people don't realize we will take things that are stained and or torn. Some of this is sold bundled for salvage, and some of it is actually sold to secondary markets. So Goodwill has really worked to develop recycling streams so that things aren't just sent overseas and dumped, but that there's actually a secondary market and there are good, responsible recycling uses for a lot of these items.
Great. Thank you for calling, Lori. I've got to say, and my team here has insisted that I mention this on the air, the shirt I'm wearing today I actually bought Monday. It was 80% day at my local second-use thrift store, and I snapped it up for a whole buck. And I think it looks okay.
Wow.
It looks okay on the radio anyway. So, Sherry, I want to zoom out for a second. Have we as a society always had so much clothing to dispose of?
No. Actually, Western consumers are thought to buy 60% more clothing today than they did just 10 years ago. We're buying more, but not spending more of our average household income. I know I've seen statistics that we have continued to spend the same average household income today as we did from the 1950s, but our closet is 80% larger than what it was back then. We had fewer clothes. Fast fashion is what we talk about a lot in the apparel industry. We are demanding new, which is causing, lower prices and more disposable clothing. Oftentimes things that are very affordable come with poor quality. And like I mentioned earlier, our society doesn't know how to mend a hole anymore and put a button on. And unfortunately, 80% of us don't even know that this is happening and that we're sending all of this textiles and garments to the landfill.
Well, hopefully we're helping to mend that part of the process anyway by talking about this issue. Sherry Marnell is the Program Director for Apparel Design and Development at UW-Stout in Menominee. Have you found clever ways to reuse your clothing you no longer wear? Do you turn it into something new? Share that with us. How do you make the clothing you already have last? We want to hear your tips and tricks. And what questions do you have for our guest about fashion's impact on the environment? I'm Dean Kallenbach, in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about our clothing habits and how they affect the environment. When you and your children's shirts or pants get ripped or damaged, do you take it somewhere to get it repaired or fix it yourself? How do you make the clothing you already have last? We want to hear what you have to say. 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sherry Marnell is the Program Director for Apparel Design and Development at UW-Stout in Menominee. She is our guest. And let's go to the phones and find Dara. 38% increase in landfills we talked about earlier. Dara from Franklin, join us. You want to talk about that?
Actually, I just had a couple of questions.
Yeah.
This topic really struck a chord with me, and I wanted to ask, when I heard that statistic, I wanted to ask your guest if that statistic includes, purses, shoes, other maybe even sporting kinds of things that a lot of kids and a lot of adults buy today, or if that excludes that, if it's just exclusively, clothing. And my second question is a lot of the stuff that's produced today, what we refer to as the textiles, is a lot of that petroleum-based since we've moved away from cottons and linens and other more natural fibers?
Sherry Marnell.
Great question, Mara. So first, to answer your first question in regards to the 30% increase in the amount of textiles, great clarification. So textiles is a very broad term. So it's not just clothing. It's also anything that's made of fabric. So think of your towels, your sheets, curtains, some of your kids' equipment, maybe hockey breezers that are made of fabric. So textiles in general are a very broad category. But anything that's made out of a fabric would be considered textiles. And some of that, too,
are items that we don't really even think of as a textile, like potentially some of our shoes are now made of a knit material on the top of a sneaker versus leather. But all of those would be considered textiles. And then to answer your second question in regards to what fiber content is what we call it in apparel, I don't have the exact statistic, but I would say that the petroleum-based fibers that you're talking about could be nylon or polyester. I would definitely say that there isn't necessarily a rise in petroleum-based textiles. I personally have seen more trends going back to natural fibers of wool, cotton, tencel, and even hemp. One of our students at UW-Stout completed a research project to identify what truly is the most sustainable fiber to use. You know, is it organic cotton? Is it tencel, which comes from wood pulp? Is it hemp? Or, you know, what are those most sustainable fibers? And hemp actually is the most sustainable fiber because it uses much less water to grow than what cotton does. So just to answer your question, I would say I don't see a trend in petroleum-based fibers, but I am happy to report that both petroleum-based fibers as well as natural fibers are lots of companies are working to reduce and upcycle those and recycle those into new fibers. We're not 100% there yet, but we're on our way.
Dara, thanks for your call. Let's move to Cascade and take a call from Kelly. Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. This is an awesome show. So 2 points I'd like to make. One is I think the marketing realm could do a lot to just push secondhand consignment. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and there was a huge social acceptance of that kind of shopping. And then moving back to the Midwest, my kids' friends really poo-pooed the idea of them getting something at Goodwill, whereas in the Northwest it was cool. So that's one thing. The second thing is in the minimalism movement, there's a huge emphasis on the capsule wardrobe, which is buying quality, buying things that you really love, and keeping it to a minimum. So it saves on time and having to choose your clothes. You know that everything you grab from your wardrobe is something that you love. And so that's something I'm personally striving for. So that I can just do away with the whole having to shop on a regular basis and know that everything I have feels good to me and I'll wear it a lot. So. Oh,
thank you, Kelly. Sharon Marnell, are you familiar with that phrase she used, capsule wardrobes?
I sure am. Kelly made a lot of great points. But capsule wardrobes, you know, at the end of the day, apparel makes you feel good, right? So really making sure that you go through your closet and you choose the items that truly make you feel good, that have a lot of versatility and give you lots of different options. You know, your basic t-shirts, your basic denim, maybe a great blazer that you can dress up or down depending on what your needs are. But capsule wardrobes is definitely something that I would say is we're moving towards that movement to really simplify that wardrobe. Kelly also mentioned that social acceptance of thrifting or upcycling, yeah. And I would agree, and we all own that. I think we all need to be better at being proud of items that we've had for a long time. And not only that you're proud that you've had them for a long time because it has great quality, but hey, especially in the new year, that it still fits you, right? So instead of just saying, yes, this is my new shirt or this is new, let's change our mindset and be happy and proud of things that are old or upcycled or that you were able to fix that hole in the toe of your sock or, you know, put that button back on so that gave you a little bit extra life on that item.
So maybe that money you spend on the gym, you can use to repair your clothes or something. I'm not sure. Sherry Marnell is the Program Director for Apparel Design and Development at UW-Stout in Menominee. We're talking about clothes and their effect on the environment. Let's say you're someone who likes to keep up with the latest fashions without spending a lot of money, and fast fashion brands have allowed you to do that. How can you keep up with the trends without damaging the environment?
Really, it's about educating yourself on the brands that do good and have solid corporate social responsibility plans. You know, instead of just going to any store, you know, really doing some research to say which stores are doing good for the environment. You know, start looking at the label of your clothing, just like a lot of people are starting to do on food labels. You know, see if it's made out of recycled cotton or recycled polyester.
And, you know, start just making small, simple steps. I think it easily can be very overwhelming when you hear some of the statistics that I share. But I think just taking baby steps, especially for a fresh new start of the 2019 new year, is, you know, start educating yourself on companies, brands, and in reading the labels that are in your garments.
We got a call from Martha from Onalaska. She couldn't stay on to go on the air, but she called to say if you don't wash your clothing as often, it'll last longer. If a piece of clothing just has a stain, spot clean it instead of putting it through the wash. You don't need to wash jeans or other clothes every time you wear them. Is that a way we can make the clothing we already have work better, last longer?
Yeah, great, addition to our conversation. So when it comes to the impact fashion has on the environment, there's kind of twofold. One, it's pre-consumer. So everything that the factories and agriculture and the farmers growing a lot of these fiber or, you know, fabrics and fiber contents can do. But then it's the other 50% is us as the consumer. And one very easy way is to conserve water and electricity and gas by washing our clothes less. She is right on in regards to, you know, oftentimes, and my kids are just as guilty, you know, you try something on and it goes into the wash, or you wear it for 3 hours and it goes into the wash. I think we all need to do better, and that's a very simple way to help the environment by conserving water, electricity, and gas, and making items last longer. You know, Dean, you mentioned when you're going through your sweaters that your sweaters had some pilling.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows what pilling is, right? It's the little balls that are created when you have friction on your garments. And when you wash clothes, pilling often happens. So it definitely lasts longer when you don't wash as often.
Well, we appreciate having you on. I wonder if in 15 seconds you follow the fashion industry. Could fashion get to the point where people don't have to take such great pains to shop for clothing that doesn't harm the environment?
Great question. I sure hope so. From the research that I've seen, the companies that I follow, our advisory board that comes to our campus twice a year to make sure that our program is right on track, we're all headed in the right direction, but it's not something that happens overnight, and we all own it.
Sherry,
so obviously a lot of people.
Sherry, thank you for joining us. Sherry Marnell, Program Director for Apparel Design and Development at UW-Stout in Menominee. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Just ahead, Lake Superior State University has come out with its annual list of words that people love to hate and would banish if they could. We'll talk about it with two guests from LSSU. I'm Dean Kallenbach in for Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.